Yeah, when the Lord gave me this text a few weeks ago, I had no idea that it would be ready in time for Remembrance Sunday, given what I want to bring before you today. So I'd like to draw your attention this morning to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. That's Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. And it's that famous passage in Ephesians about the armour of God. And the reason why I want to bring this before you this morning is because I'm constantly aware of Christians struggling and having hard times. And in this text there's some help there, and I want to bring that before you. So let me read it out for you, and then we'll take a look at it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armour of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armour of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm then, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for the saints. I don't know whether you appreciate it, but I certainly do, that as Christians, we are wonderfully blessed and we are immensely privileged. Every spiritual blessing, we're told, in the heavenly realms is available to us. The power, the almighty power of God, is at work within us. We've been adopted into God's family. We have God working for our good. And I could go on and on of all the blessings and the privileges that we have as Christians. However, that's not the full story. We also have our struggles. And if anybody tells you that the Christian life is a bed of roses, then they're deceiving you. Because the reality is, all Christians experience struggles and difficulties. It's part of the Christian life. So it's important that we know that we have know about the difficulties that we have, and we know what to do about them. And that's why I'm bringing this text before you this morning. However, in order to deal with this matter properly, I'm going to have to do it in two parts. When I was preparing this, I produced tons and tons of notes. And I realised that really to do justice to this text, it would have to be in two parts. So I'm going to do that this morning. What I'm going to do is deal with the first part of this text, and then on another occasion we'll deal with the second part. So what I'm going to do this morning is look at the first part, which is about the devil's schemes. Okay? And then on another occasion I'm going to deal with the armour of God itself. Okay? So Paul tells us in this text that we've got this struggle. And this struggle is against the schemes of the devil. But then tells us what God has provided for us. But today I just want to concentrate on that first part. And I'd like to start by making some general points about the text that we have before us. And then I'm going to go into it in more detail. Okay? So Paul starts off by saying these words, that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's important, Paul says, that we need to be strong. Despite all these blessings and all the privileges that we have, we still need to be strong. And why is this? Why does Paul say we need to be strong as Christians? Well, he gives the answer in verses 11 and 12. He says we need to be strong in the Lord because we need to put on our full armour of God so that we're able to what? Stand firm against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why we need to be strong, because we're in a battle. And we're in this battle against these evil forces. We need to be strong in the Lord so that we can stand up to the devil's schemes and all the powers and forces that are set against us under his dominion. If we are to be strong, we need to be able to see what the armour of God is for us. But we also need to know our enemy. Because if we're not strong, our enemy is going to defeat us. Because that's what Satan and these demons and these evil spirits are out to do. To call us to fall instead of to stand. So we need to be strong to be able to deal with the devil's schemes against us. And how do we stand firm against the devil's schemes? Well, we're told again in verse 11, how do we deal with these schemes of the devil? We're told we need to put on the full armour of God. Then later on, Paul will describe what this armour is. And we'll look at that on another occasion. But notice that he tells us to put on the full armour of God. This is something I've come across. Some people, many Christians are aware of this armour, but don't use it, all of it, all of the time. Because we're in a battle, it's a constant battle, it never ends. We need to be armoured all the time. We have to put all of it on to protect our whole being. Notice also that he tells us that we have to do this. This is one of our responsibilities as Christians, to protect ourselves. We need to put the armour on ourselves, and we need to keep it on. Because we're involved in a constant spiritual battle. And it's a battle that we have to engage in. We have no choice. If we don't engage in this battle, we put ourselves at the risk of being defeated. Instead of standing, we'll fall. Furthermore, the fact that we're engaged in this battle should be a source of assurance for us, because it proves that we're a true Christian. The devil is out to bring down Christians. And so if the devil's going to have a go at you, it's because you're a Christian, a true Christian. He's not going to bother with you if you're not. So it's a source of encouragement to us, the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual battle all of the time. And the battle we are looking at today is from an outside enemy. We have another battle as a Christian, and that's a battle with our flesh. When we become a Christian, we have this battle against the old sin nature, against our flesh wanting to try to drag us back, but we're a new creation. And that's the enemy within, our own battle against our own sinful nature. But there's this external battle, and it's the external one I want to look at this morning. We have a battle with an outside enemy. It's the devil and all his evil forces. And it's the battle with the outside enemy that we're going to look at. As Paul tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood simply means, it's different to that battle that we have with our own flesh. Flesh and blood simply means mankind. We're not in a battle against people, not human beings. That's not what we're a battle against. We're in a battle against spiritual forces. That's what our struggle is. What lies behind so much of what we see around us, there are spiritual forces at work causing that to happen. And we need to be aware of that. And we're caught up in that. That's the world that we live in. And if we're going to deal with this battle, we need to know our enemy. That's the first thing to do, to understand who is our enemy. What is he like? What is he going to do to us? We need to know our enemy. And our enemy is the devil and, Paul says, the rulers, the powers, the world forces of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness. These rulers, these powers, these world forces of darkness and the spiritual forces of wickedness are demons or evil spirits. And they're part of the devil's kingdom, a kingdom that he rules. We see this in Luke chapter 11, verse 18, where we read this. If Satan, this is what Jesus said, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? He has a kingdom, does Satan, and all these evil spirits and all these evil forces are under his dominion. His kingdom is in this world. And all these various demons that are described here, they have power, says Paul. They have authority. They're rulers. And they have power. So they have a certain amount of these evil forces and these evil spirits have a certain amount of power and authority in this world to do certain things to cause harm. And we'll look into that. They're unseen. They're unseen rulers who are manipulating world affairs and working in individual unbelievers. This is going on all the time. You only need to look at the political situation at the moment. Our whole country is in a battle for our future right now. And there are spiritual forces behind that. That's what's going on. Our nation is in a spiritual battle for the whole morals of the nation. There's a great battle going on for the moral values of our nation. There's a great battle to destroy those Christian values that built this nation. That's going on right now. And the devil and his evil forces are involved in this. They're influencing powers and authorities and individuals around the world to achieve his aims. These evil spirits and forces are not gods. They're created beings. They have limitations. But there are an awful lot of them. There are legions of these evil forces and spirits, and they're under the direction of Satan, the devil. But what about the devil himself? What do we know about him? Well, he is the chief of these spiritual powers that are set against us. In Ephesians, Paul tells us this, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit is now work in the sons of disobedience. He's the prince. He's a prince amongst these spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. He's a person. He has an identity. He has names. And he's powerful. Satan is very powerful, but he's limited by God. When we look in the book of Job, we see that Satan was allowed to do certain things to Job, but there was limits. God set the limits of what he could do to him, but he still was able to do these things to Job. Satan is very powerful, but his power is limited. So we shouldn't be overwhelmed by it. But I would say this, that his power is second only to that of God. He's not as powerful as God. But he is very powerful, and we need to be aware of that. What else can we say about Satan? He's an accuser, and he loves to accuse Christians. He's an adversary. He's our opponent. He's always against us. He's a tempter. He wants to tempt us and lead us astray. He's a deceiver. He will manipulate and take us away from the truth. If he can. He's a destroyer. He wants to destroy us. That's what he's out to do. And he's a liar. He lies all the time. He lies. And we have to be aware of his lies. Because that's what he does. So what does the devil want to achieve? What are his aims? Our enemy, what does he want to do? What is he trying to achieve? Well, the first thing he wants to do is to destroy God's work. Where you see God's work being attacked, and then it's evil forces and the devil at work behind it. He wants to destroy God's work. He wants to destroy God's creation. He wants to destroy the church. And he wants to create confusion, trouble, and chaos. That's a word we've come across recently. He wants to create confusion. He wants to stir up trouble and cause chaos. God is orderly, but that Satan is chaotic. And he wants to create confusion and chaos in our world. And he wants to separate, most of all, man from God. Those are his aims. So how does he want to go about it? How does he go about fulfilling those aims? Why? Well, his schemes are so vast and so cunning. And I've tried to come up with some of them. These are some of the things that Satan will do against you and his evil forces. These are the sort of things, these are his tactics that he will use against us. He can sometimes use nature. Sometimes he will use nature through floods and storms, etc., to cause us harm, to upset us. He will do that sometimes, not always. And he can sometimes use animals. He can work through animals to harm us, through nature. And he sometimes will bring about afflictions in our bodies, sickness and disease. What did he do to Job? He afflicted poor old Job. He can do that. And Satan will sometimes bring sickness and disease into our life as one of the methods he will use to harm us. Another thing that Satan loves to do is to stir up passions and lusts within us. When we are passionate and we get angry and bitter, he wants to have us lusting after wealth and riches and fame, lusting after a man or a woman. He wants to do that in us. He wants to stir up these passions, these human passions, to cause us to sin. He will try to do that. He's able to bring along people to persecute us. He's able to stir up persecution against us, to have people attack us and harm us. I've experienced that many times. Have you? Have you found people suddenly come against you for no good reason? He can be stirring people up to persecute us and to make us fearful. Oh, and he loves to tempt us in all kinds of sin. He's going to bring temptations our way. He will use all sorts of cunning tactics to achieve that. He wants you to sin because he knows that will harm you. You'll feel bad. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel as though you're a failure. And he'll bring along many temptations to you. Another thing he likes to do is to put doubts in your mind. How many of us have experienced, gone through a situation in our life where we even begin to doubt that we're a Christian? We begin to doubt that God even exists sometimes. Where's that coming from? Satan will often put these thoughts to you and try to cause you to be doubting about yourself. Oh, especially when it comes to your security as a Christian. He wants you to think that you can lose your salvation. He wants to think you're a rotten Christian. Who are you? He wants to do that to you and put all sorts of kinds of doubts in your mind. He can put hatred, malice, bitterness in our minds that cause division and do harm to us and to others. Oh, he loves to stir up hatred in us. Oh, we see that all the time. We see sometimes that even Christians are fighting amongst each other. Oh, he loves to stir that up. Do anything he can to stir us up and bring us down. He'll cause us to be bitter sometimes because of the difficulties we've gone through. Some hope that's been dashed, some dream that's not been fulfilled, and fill us with bitterness. He'll try to put fear in our minds. Be as afraid to step out and do what God wants. Oh, if I do that, what will people think? What will happen? I might lose everything. He'll put those thoughts in your mind. And these things are happening all the time. Even when you may be praying, I don't know if you've had that experience, but I have. When you're praying, you're reading the scripture, and suddenly this horrible thought comes into your head. Sinful thought. And you think, where's that coming from? He wants to take you away from your prayer and your spiritual life by throwing thoughts at you. These are the fiery arrows that Paul talks about later on. These attacks upon you to try to upset you and discourage you. He'll put those thoughts in your mind, even at the most beautiful times. Oh, one of his great tactics is, you'll have a day which is wonderful, things you've been really blessed, then the next day he'll get you with something. You know, my weakness, for instance, he'll always get to me and get me angry by silly little things. Things breaking and not working gets me upset. And then I lose my relationship with God, my fellowship with God, because I get bitter and angry about, oh, it didn't work that. We have all sorts of weaknesses. He's looking for those weaknesses to get at us. He'll do all that sort of thing. He'll try to alarm us or frighten us. He wants to do that, especially when we've sinned. If we sin in some way, he'll want to alarm us and think, oh, you're going to lose your salvation. You can't be a Christian. Makes us frightened. And he also, one of his terrible tactics, is to instigate false teaching, to lead us astray, or to sow confusion. Boy, there's an awful lot of confusion out there. If you want to go out and read books and look on the internet, there's all sorts of false teaching out there. And in my lifetime, I've seen an absolute proliferation of false teaching in the church. And it's causing confusion. And it's leading people astray to do things they should not be doing. Totally unbiblical things. And he wants to plant that in the church. He wants us to get us to read books which are harmful for us. Where we'll find false teaching, we need to be so discerning. Because that does so much damage. It breaks the church up. It causes confusion for you, causes doubt for you. Oh, he loves to do that. He'll put evil thoughts in your mind sometimes. Sometimes you think, why would you have murderous thoughts sometimes? You want to kill somebody. Wicked thoughts that will come into your mind. You think, where's that from? I know I'm not a murderer or a killer, but sometimes I get so angry I want to strangle somebody. Where's that come from? It's him wanting to put those thoughts and bring us down. These are his tactics. There's many. You read some of the books of past saints who've written about their lives, their biographies, and they've said some beautifully wonderful, holy and devout men who talk about those times when the devil has tormented them with horrible thoughts in their minds. It happens to us. Where have they come from? It can cause us to be depressed. I see that so much. Depressed and discouraged. And he does that because he wants to focus on our failures. He wants us to look at the things that have gone wrong. I once did a message on one occasion a few years ago where, I can't remember the context, but I said in it, if I look back on my life, it's probably about 60 or 70% failure. So much of my life has been a failure. So many things have gone wrong. Oh, and boy, does the devil like to remind you of those things, where things have not worked out, where you've sinned, where you've done things in your youthfulness that you shouldn't have done, things that embarrass you. And oh, he loves to remind you of those things. God never reminds you about those, but the devil loves to do that. And it brings you down. You get discouraged. You get depressed. What a rubbish Christian I am. That's what he likes for you to think. Oh, and he loves to make us proud. Oh, he does love that. He loves to get us proud, because pride leads to all sorts of problems. You know, that where we boast in our achievements and what we've done. Here we are, Mike Ashton Ministries. What a proud statement that is. Who am I to be giving myself such a title? I don't have such a thing. That's ridiculous. But it can lead to pride, where we think we are some specially gifted person. Or it can be that we're so proud that we won't ask for things when we're in need. He loves to put pride in our minds, because pride can lead to all sorts of problems. These are the kind of things that Paul is talking about when he talks about the flaming arrows that he's firing at us. Oh, the devil is so subtle and so cunning. I've hardly scratched the surface this morning. He will use all sorts of tactics, and so often we don't even realise he's doing it to us. It's going on all the time. Oh, we need that armour of God, because it's going on, and he's very cunning and very subtle. He sometimes will use situations which seem so appealing. He'll bring somebody into our life, he's so somebody who's very charming, but behind it they're up to no good and they'll lead us astray. How many women have fallen foul of these false charmers who come along? I know people who've talked about that, who really only want money out of you. And that's the way the devil is. He can be so charming. When I was a younger man, I grew up in a Roman Catholic family, and my mum was a devout Catholic, and she was very interested in all these Marian shrines around, like Lourdes and the likes. And if you look into those, always alongside those things that these children or whoever it might be who've seen visions of Mary, they also have revelations that they claim they've had. And if you read them, some of them are perfectly fine. They talk about the Trinity and God, but mixed in with it, there's things that are false, because that's the way the devil works. He will use things which are true and mix in with them things which are not true to deceive us and lead us astray. And I remember reading all these things. I got this book which gave all these revelations, and I was looking, that's all right, no, that's okay, yeah. And then I'd get this statement which was completely false, which made false statements about Mary, about who she is, and put her above God. And that's what happens. And that's what the devil wants to do. He'll come as this shining light, when in fact there's all darkness in him. Oh, he's very, very cunning. There's so many ways in which he will try to harm us in the ways I've talked about. And that's why this morning I wanted to reveal some of these methods that he uses, because we may not be aware of all these methods. And remember, he does all these things with the help of all these demons. He's a created being. He can't be everywhere at once. So he uses all his kingdom of evil spirits and demons to work for him and to achieve his goals. And he's up to all sorts of tricks all of the time. And when Paul talks about evil days, he's talking about those particularly bad days that go on. Have you ever had that? A day where everything seems to go wrong? No matter what you do, it doesn't work out that day. And you, at the end of the day, you're fed up, you're discouraged. You think, that's it, I've had enough of it all. You want to pack it in because you've had such a terrible day. Those are evil days. There are even worse days to come in the end times. But for each of us, we will have those evil days where we're under particularly strong attack. And that's what Paul is talking about. So there we are. That's what we're up against. And we need to be alert and be aware. We need to stand and know that these things are going on. And next time, I'd like to look at God's provision. The wonderful thing about our God, he's covered everything. Oh, it's amazing. He's covered every scenario, every situation that we need as a Christian. And he's provided us with this armour to protect us. So although we have all these wicked things and all these schemes against us, he has given us a provision. And it's that provision I want to look at next time. But fear not, God has got it all covered.